You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Amen. We're going to continue on the main subject, positioning for the promise. Positioning for the promise. That is what the main subject that Pastor has been talking about the last few weeks. And when you talk about positioning for the promise, positioning, getting in place, getting into position to where whatever it is that is supposed to happen as far as the promises of God take place. Not just so the promises can be fulfilled to your benefit, but because it is God's will. He said it in his word. Therefore, he cannot not do it, but we can in ourselves hinder the time that it happens, because there's something that we have to do in relation to that. God loves us. He's going to fulfill his promise. But he wants us to do our part. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be a part of the kingdom in a very real way. And we have to accept that responsibility, because he didn't just make us just to be making us. Amen. Our job is not to get people saved. It is to present a better way of life to people. Pastor mentioned that last week. But you know what? We cannot do that if we're not living it. Pastor Tracy said that last week. How can we make disciples if we're not one? How can you even attempt to make a disciple and be a disciple if you're not one? And how can you even attempt to do any of this without the love of God and accepting what he did for us? Amen. Yes. Pastor, can you check this for me? Please. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this awesome opportunity that we have today, God, to go deeper in your word, God. To not only hear your word, but be doers of your word. And Lord, I just give you all glory and honor and praise for what you're doing and for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would allow me to back up just a little bit before I get into this message, I would like to invite my daughter, Joycelyn, to come up and sing, because I love her singing and God has blessed her. And I asked her, would she sing? And she said, yeah, Daddy, I'll sing. So come on and sing. Y'all give a hand as she comes. Yellow.
Good morning. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for my heavenly home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he, his eye is on the just me. Oh, why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for my heavenly home when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the spell, and I know He watches me.
Thank God for Joycelyn. God has given her a gift. Me and her mom discovered that gift by accident. She was singing in the shower when she was about 6, and we walked by the door, and we had to back up. What is that? I called Kim. I said, Kim, come hear this. That's when we discovered she could sing and that God had given her a gift. So thank you. Amen. Amen. Okay, now we can move a little further. All right, good morning. All right, the title of my message this morning is called The Main Ingredient. The Main Ingredient. How many of y'all cooking here? When you cook, particularly from scratch, you have to have the right ingredients, or whatever it is that you're making is not going to taste right. You can put all the other ingredients in there. It can come out looking like it's supposed to look, but it won't taste like it's supposed to taste. It's got to have the main ingredient. There's a main ingredient for baking a cake. There's a main ingredient for whatever it is that you're cooking, because if the main ingredient is not in there, it is not going to taste right. So, the main ingredient, I'm not going to talk about food, but I am going to talk about the main ingredient in the most important thing in life. Love is the most important ingredient in the recipe of life. Would you agree? Love is the most important ingredient in life. Why is it that love is the most important ingredient in life? Well, let me ask you this. Who gave you life? God. God gave you life. And God is love. So why would He not require your life, if He made you the way He made you to reflect Him, why would He not want you to love and be as He is? The Bible says that He made us in His image. He made us in His image. Therefore, He requires some things of us. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We're going to begin at verse 36. And I want to encourage you all. Pastor and I were talking this week, and he's going to mention this, but I'm going to mention it now. We want to, I know we all have our devices and we have our phones and everything, but I want to encourage everyone to get a real Bible and bring it to church, because it says something when you have your Bible and you can turn the pages and you can hear. And we want to do that. It also allows you to be able to look for the books of the Bible in the Bible, whereas when you go to your device, you just hit a button and it pops up. Sometimes we don't need things to be too easy.
Yes, sir.
We don't need things to be too easy, because when things are too easy, what happens? You get comfortable and you get lazy. And we don't want to be lazy Christians. We want to be able to dig and search and just do things that God would require us to do to learn more about Him. If it was easy for you to do a lot of things, then you would not grow in the process of learning, because it's so easy. Amen. All right. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." This is after we heard about the Ten Commandments and all the other laws. But when they asked Jesus, which one is the greatest one? The greatest one was that we would love God. Now, our vision statement here, mission, is love God, love people, and what? Make disciples. How many of you think you have the love God thing down? It's not a trick. It's not a trick question. Okay. The reason why I ask that question is because we're going to examine the love God part. We talked about the love people part. Sometimes we skip past the love God part and we go straight to the love people part because we feel like we got love God down. I want us to examine the love God part. God said that if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Now, he wasn't just talking about just the ten. He was talking about his instructions for life. He was talking about the ten plus a whole lot more. Now, when we talk about, when we examine our love for God, God looks at it differently than we do. You cannot love God based on a feeling. Would you agree? You cannot love God based on a feeling, because your feelings change. Your feelings can change. You can love God today, not so much tomorrow. You probably put a little bit more in it the next day. It fluctuates. But our God never changes. He is consistent. Therefore, we have to adopt the spirit of consistency. And we need to really take inventory on how consistent we are in doing the things of God. Now, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think that we put scripture in place in our lives based on what it is that we're going through to make it fit. And that's not how God desires that we love him. Pastor has taught many times that one of the greatest acts of worship is to study the word of God. Would you agree? When you love somebody, you show up when you're supposed to show up. You do what you're supposed to do. You give when you're supposed to give. You respond when you're supposed to respond, because that expresses your love for whatever it is that you want to express love to. Now, when you don't do it consistently, then there leaves some room in there for me to really consider, do you really love me, or are you just doing this because you want me to think you love me? Let me tell you something about that. That is dangerous. To do that, Reason being is because when you get in a position to where you're trying to gain favor from somebody and making them think that they love you, you present a false sense of love to that person. Now, don't let that person fall all over into what it is that you're presenting to them, because when you are not consistent in your love, you end up hurting them. You end up hurting them. How many times are we not consistent in our love for God? Can you imagine how he feels? There's a saying that says, follow your heart. Have you heard that before? Follow your heart. Do you believe that statement? In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 9th verse, the word says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The King James says, who can know it? And we have to be careful about what it is that we allow in our heads and in our hearts to come out if we're following our heart. Ms. Kenna, can you get that clip ready? Too many times we allow what we feel to dictate what we do. And the consistency of what we do is what God looks for. The actions have to be consistent. And I want to play you a clip. Y'all check out this clip, because I want y'all to hear. I want y'all
Waffle time.
This is from the movie Fireproof.
I'd like to talk to you about something.
What's that?
Well,
hey, Cap.
I think B-Ship's trying to pull a joke on us, man. Salt and pepper shaker won't come apart.
Hey, toss him my beer.
Hey, thanks, man. Don't forget to mop the kitchen after breakfast.
Yes, sir.
You want to tell me something?
It's about your faith.
My faith?
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah, I'm in.
Now, are you saying that you want to be in?
I'm saying I'm in.
You're really in?
I'm really in.
Because you can't be half in and say you're in. You got to be all in, brother.
I'm saying I'm all in.
Oh, Caleb, I can't believe it, man. You're my brother.
I'm your brother?
Yeah, man, you're my brother from another mother. But now we got the same father.
What?
I'll explain it to you later, man. This is awesome. Does Catherine know?
No. No, I don't think she'd care right now, to tell you the truth. She hasn't been taken too well to this whole love dare thing.
But you're not done yet, right?
No, I'm day 21 out of 40. But I'll be honest with you. Up to this point, my heart's not been in it.
That's what matters. A woman can tell when you're just going through the motions.
That's absolutely right. And let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How did you get off to such a good start with Tina? I mean, why is it so easy for you?
Well, it's not always been easy. Marriage takes work, man. Tina is an incredible wife, but we learned a lot of lessons the hard way.
Well, at least you haven't had to face divorce.
I wish that were true.
What does that mean? You and Tina been struggling that much?
Not me and Tina, but I deal with my first wife.
What? You were married to someone before Tina?
For one horrible year. I got married for the wrong reasons, then I turned around and got a divorce for the wrong reasons. Man, I thought I was just following my heart.
Michael, I have worked with you for 5 years. You've never told me that.
Because I'm not proud of it. It was before I gave my life to the Lord, and man, I was just only concerned about my rights and my needs. Man, I ruined her life. But when I gave my life to God, I tried to find her, but she had already remarried. So believe me when I tell you I got a big scar. Man, God meant marriage to be for life. That's why you gotta keep your vows to Catherine. You gotta beg God to teach you how to be a good husband. And don't just follow your heart, man, because your heart can be deceived. but you gotta lead your heart.
You can't follow your heart. You gotta lead your heart. From the first time I saw that movie, that clip stayed with me. Because so many people follow your heart. Think about this. What you do starts with a thought. The thought is here. Pastor talked about the 18 inches from your head to your heart. Now, if you don't understand that from the time you have a thought to the time it gets to your heart, if you allow it to get that far, a lot can take place. The thing is this, the Bible says, take every thought captive. What does that mean? That means from the time you have a thought to the time it gets to your heart, you have to catch it and make it obedient to the word of God. Now, if you don't know the word of God, then it goes straight to your heart. So you don't really have a catch system. You don't really have something to make that thought obedient. You got 18 inches from the thought to the heart. From the time that thought hits your mind to the time it gets to your heart, you have time to do something, to make a better choice. And let me say something about making choices. There are so many people who have not allowed that process between the thought and the heart to take place, and many of them ended up in prison. Many of them ended up dead. Many of them ended up regretting something that they cannot overtake, overcome, or fix. So we have to take inventory of that. Now, to be able to take that thought captive, we have to understand that there has to be something to catch it with and make it obedient and turn it around before it gets to an action. That's the word of God. Now, the thing about why it is that we come to church, why it is that we come together and pray, and why it is that we come together and study the word of God is so that we can be in tune with God's word. So when those things happen, we are equipped to do that. Now, God has allowed us to have things in place to be able to do that. But what is happening is we have allowed the thoughts and the non-filter before it gets to your heart to allow us to do that. And we make decisions based on how we feel. We make decisions based on how we feel. Case in point, we have things here at our church. We have Bible study. We have prayer on Monday night, where we're only required to come or asked to come one Monday a night. Now, all of us in here, on Monday is not the day that I want to be leaving after I've spent the weekend and I've come home and we have to go to prayer tonight. Your feeling about that is not, let's say, favorable. However, based on the importance of what it is that we're doing, it is important that we override that to give God that time. Because prayer is important. The word says we should always pray. And there's something that happens when we pray together. There's something that happens when we pray as a unit. We have to pray as a unit and we have to pray individually. Just coming to church on Sunday is not enough. You have to set aside time for God. Our church helps us in doing that. And if you don't know the word, then how can you really love? How can you make those decisions? Let me tell you something. There are times when I come home and I'm really not feeling like getting out and so forth and so on. But I'm going to tell you something. When I get there, I don't feel that no more. Because the Spirit of God takes over and it's not about how I feel anymore. It's about Him. It's about our time together. It's about our time to grow. It's about the intimacy between me and him, even though I'm in a group, that allows me to grow in God's presence. When I leave, I'm better than it was when I came. When you have an encounter with God, you are not the same. When you have an encounter with anybody, you're not the same. If I have an encounter with you, you will not be the same. I'm either going to increase you or decrease you. I'm going to do or say something that's going to either increase you or decrease you. You never stay the same when you encounter somebody. Same thing with God. Here's the advantage. We already know that when we encounter God, it's all increase. Even when it really don't feel like increase, it's increase because the word says he loves us beyond what we've done. All things work together for the good of those who love God or call him according to his purpose. Therefore, if you do something that's not quite right and you love God, you call according to his purpose, just keep living. He's going to make that thing right. And in the process, you're going to learn something while you're going through. Let me tell you something about the enemy when you try to do it not God's way, if I could say that. We think that we can love and we can make this thing look like it's God. The enemy can cause us sometimes to circumvent the fact that we don't have the real love that we portray, that we say we do. Have you ever experienced where somebody used your own kindness against you? A friend of mine had a situation to where their husband expressed consideration. Baby, go ahead and go out. I got the kids. You know, you go ahead and do your thing. And I'll be here when you get back. Go ahead and do your thing. You deserve this time. Now, he knows his wife. In times past, he's offered this just because he felt like doing it, felt like doing something right. And she would always say, no, that's all right. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. Well, this particular time, he did that. And it looked like he was really sincere about what he did because he really wanted his wife to go out and have a good time. I got the kids, so forth and so on. Well, this time she took him up on it. Now, his heart really wasn't in what he did. It was a selfish act because he was banking on the fact that she was going to say, no, that's all right, but thank you anyway. You're such a good husband. But she took him up on it. And she went and had her good time, had her time. The whole time she's gone, he's bawling, calling her. Baby, when you coming back? Baby, when you coming back? I'll be back at such and such a time. So she comes back at whatever time. He's upset. He leaves. She's like, what was that? You told me that I could go out and have some time for myself, but you're upset because I did it. I told her, I said, the gesture wasn't for you. It was actually for him. He was using her kindness against her to make himself look good. People will do that to you. They study you long enough to throw a bait out there for you to take it. And in the end, they look good when the intention was for them to look good the whole time. It wasn't about you. To me, what that says is there was no God in it. You got to be careful when you associate with people who want to do things good for you. And you already know that they don't have a relationship with God. You already know. But you're so trusting with people, and some of us get so desperate when we're in a place to where we're hurting and we don't understand that God has to be a part of this. So I would encourage you to take heed of the opportunities. Our church right now is in a very, we're in a very serious point of growth. We have been getting the word. We have been getting teaching. We've been coming together. But the consistency of what we're doing has not been present. And I'm going to tell you something. I feel the burden sometimes that Pastor allows me to feel and hear about some of the things. And it's and I see him and I'm thinking, how must God feel about Life Community Church? Because he's been good to us. He's been good to us. We've been through some things and he's consistent. But we're not consistent. We've got to examine ourselves and open our hearts up to the leading of God and his word and how it is that he desires for us to live, how it is that he desires for us to support our church, how it is that he desires for us to love each other, and how it is that he desires for us to grow. Pastor Tracy last Sunday poured her heart out to us in saying that We don't want to be a dead church. We don't want to come here just for the ritual of doing it. There's a purpose. And I love it when our praise and worship allows the Spirit of God to come in and just take over. That is love flowing between us and God. God loves us so much that when we open our heart up to him, he comes in and it's beyond. Well, have you ever had God come upon you so tough till you can't help it? And you just cry, there's nothing really wrong. You just feel this powerful spirit that comes in and just takes over. And those of you who can't relate to that, when you see that happen to people, you look at them like, what's going on? I tell you what, before I really got into what it is that God desires for me to be, when I saw stuff like that, I wanted it. How can I get to a point with me and God to where that happens to me? In our Bible study on Wednesday night, we were talking about fasting and how Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Mr. Kenner brought up an interesting fact on how long the body can survive without food. But when Jesus was going through that, he wasn't focusing on the food. He was focusing on being obedient to God. And when the Spirit is present as strong as it is, then you don't think about it. You are totally relying on the Spirit at that point. The Bible says that after the 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He never said he was hungry during the 40 days because he was in a place that was beyond what we can comprehend. That's the place we need to get to. Beyond our feelings, beyond what's going on. We need to just cancel out the stuff of the world that's going on and give that love to God. Because our mission statement is love God first, which is an action word. It's not a feeling. If you love God, keep his commandments. What are his commandments? It's more than 10. We're talking about 613 laws, and it's even more than that. He gives you commandments daily on what you're supposed to do. You encounter a situation to where you have the opportunity to represent God in that thing. He's speaking to you right then. You have a choice, 18 inches before the choice. What you gonna do? Do you represent God? When you do, you show the love of God. Then you can show the love to your brother or your sister. You can't love people if you don't love God the way he wants you to love them. You can't do it because he is the essence of love. He is love. Your love is counterfeit without God. Your love is not even real. Have you ever thought about, I know we got kids in here, but I'm going to try to be careful with what I say. Have you ever thought about these ladies? There's a word for them that's called prostitute. You ever thought about that word? Prostitute. Comes from two words. Professional substitute. They substitute the real thing. A professional substitute. They do it so good until you think they love you. And when they do it, they make you think you love you, make you think they love you. That's why they call trick. Because they trick you into believing that they love you. So, my question to you, and taking the sexual part out of it, are you a professional substitute for somebody? Are you tricking somebody into making them believe that you really love them? Here's the hard part. We do that sometimes to God. Not even understanding. That's why the Bible said God knows the heart. He don't go by what you do and what you say only. But we can't see the heart. We can't see where this is coming from. God can. Stop doing that to people. How do you stop doing that to people? Get in the Word. You come to Bible study. You learn. You grow. You take thoughts captive. And I told Stephanie this morning, I said, Stephanie, you came to my mind when I was developing this message, because in knowing part of her story, Stephanie is a perfect example, and as many of you, of taking thoughts captive. Because if you react on your thought, where would you be? Where would you be? And sometimes, she said county. Where would you be? We have to, and you know, you can't learn how to do that in and of yourself. If God is not in it, you are not going to be successful. You can't do it by yourself. God is there. We have to love Him the right way before we can love others. Would you agree with that? The Bible says that we ought to love God. And then He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, before you can even get to that part, you got to get the love God part down first. That love thy neighbor thing, I meant that. God says He meant that. And when we get to the point to where we don't love our neighbor, but we say we love God, we just lying. Because how can the love of God flow if it's not shared? How will they know that we love Him, that we love you, if we don't show it? In the 13th chapter of John, I think it's verse 34. And I'm coming for a landing here. But I want us to really think about this love thing and how we love God and how we love our church. Do y'all love life? Yes. Hey, man, life loves y'all back. Especially the leaders of life. Would you agree? Amen. 34 verse says, a new commandment. Here we go with the commandments again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says that twice. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples. Again, I ask you, are you a disciple? What do disciples do? To be a disciple, you have to be discipled. And that comes from making a choice to open up to do that. A lot of times what that involves is you making a choice to go a little bit further and extra than you've been doing so you can grow. You don't get it all on Sunday. Love is the principal thing. Love God the way He wants you to love Him. I think we love God the way we want to love Him way too much. Yes. We want to love Him when we feel like loving Him. We want to come to church when we feel like coming to church. That's not loving God. That's a tip. I'm just doing this to make myself look good. You know, a lot of people believe that coming to church, you get credit. A lot of people believe that. You know, I've heard people, I did my thing this Sunday. I'm good. No, you're not. You're not good. You're actually worse. You are. If you think about it, God knew your heart. You don't get credit. We come here to love on Him and Him to love on us and for us to grow. So I challenge you guys. I challenge you. To activate the main ingredient in all three of our life mission statement components. Love God the way He wants us to love us, by keeping His commandments, by showing up, by supporting our church. The church is here for us to support each other and show love to God and love our neighbor and learn how to do that together so when we leave here, we can love other neighbors. How you going to go out and love other neighbors if you can't love the person sitting on the pew on the other side of the church? We just talked about in communion how before you do this, you need to make it right. Make it right. Forgive. God has given us the Holy Spirit to be able to do that, to forgive, to continue to love. One of the characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love is not proud. And one of the things I was going to have y'all do, but I'm not going to do it today. I was going to give everybody a sheet of paper and have all of the 14 things listed and have you grade yourself 1 to 10 on each one. But not for the sake of trying to bust anybody out. It's personal. When you're in school, you get a test to find out how well you did and what you were taught. How effective are we in activating what it is that we're learning? It all depends on how we activate what it is that we're learning. And that, what I was just talking about, is just a self-evaluation. I did it to myself. And you and I encourage you to do this. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and go through all 14 of those things and grade yourself. The ones that don't have such a high grade, those are the ones you need to work on. If I scored a 3 in patience, then that's what I need to pray for more of from God. And be ready, because what He's going to do is send you something to be patient about. Be ready. It's not easy, because if it was easy, everybody would do it. And it makes you lazy when it's easy. I talked about that a few minutes ago. So I encourage you to please consider activating the main ingredient for real. Because let me tell you something. God wants it and needs it, but our church needs it more. We got to feel you. I'm going to tell you something. And just coming up here in the recent time that I've been doing it, Pastor's been doing it, 12, 13 years? I now understand the pull on the man of God when God has given him something so powerful to give out. And from time to time, he'll feel like you're not receiving it the same way it's coming across. Not for the sake of you validating him, but because he wants you to grow and love God to a way to where we as a collective represent God in the most effective way. That's how we grow. When people see that we love each other, we love God, and we are a church of action. If we don't activate what it is that we learn and how to love God, how to love people, and how to make disciples, then we just spinning our wheels. Amen? Amen. Any questions or comments?
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.